Welcome to the Cryptomaniacs Podcast. Join Taskmaster 4450 and John G. Olson each and every week as they dive into the crazy world of cryptocurrency. If you are new to crypto or you've been through a few bear markets in the past, this podcast is for you. It's time to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Cryptomaniacs Podcast. I'm John Gold. That's Task. We are here for your listening pleasure for the next hour or so. I don't know if it'll be pleasure. It might be painstaking, tooth-pulling, hair-raising excitement. No? Or maybe.
No.
Who knows?
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Why denigrate our own product?
I'm going to go off a little bit, kind of a continuation of Tuesday's show. If you did not hear that show, it is always uploaded for you guys. You can check it out. It's also on Web 2 stuff like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that fun stuff. So we were talking about the hypocrisy of the crypto markets and the Green Candle Gang, the exciting adventures in crypto. And as soon as we signed off, the Bitcoin ETF got approved and then taken down and then approved again. And I can't keep up. So we'll touch on that in a second. But Task, I want to continue with this theme we have. I was kind of having a little back and forth today. And I'll ask you, this was quoted to me on Twitter, Hive Twitter. You know, this is where everyone that talks about how important Hive is doesn't actually use Hive. They're on Twitter all the time talking about it. But this is what was presented to me today, Task. And let me know what you think. The main selling point for Hive, not the apps, just Hive, is that it's censorship resistant. This is the main selling point for why people are going to come to Hive. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
That's fucking stupid. No, it's fucking stupid. And in fact, it's not even a selling point. Because about a month and a half ago, there was a CTT episode with Dan and Starkers. And it was all focused on what does the narrative need to be. Now, these two have been hammering censorship resistant and immutable for years. Mm. And they admitted people aren't buying it. So if people aren't buying, and that's the reason for the whole episode, was if people aren't buying what you're selling, you better find something else to sell.
Right.
It doesn't matter. People don't give a crap. Censorship resistance doesn't matter because people don't want to be where others are not.
Exactly.
And when people get thrown off Web 2, they piss and moan and they do everything to get back on Web 2. So they don't care about censorship resistance. They just care when they get censored, when they get their account closed. That's not the selling point. The selling point is the fact that you have a database that you can write to that can then be pulled and is open data that can be pulled. It's transparent and other entities, other applications can utilize it. But the idea of a blockchain in and of itself as the base layer, they're all censorship resistant. Bitcoin censorship resistant. Doesn't have any data other than transactions, but it's censorship resistant. Mm-hmm. You cannot change Bitcoin. You cannot change the Ethereum database. You cannot change any of these databases. So how's that a selling point for Hive? It's not, because every blockchain has that. I mean, unless it's one of those ones where, you know, one person like Justin Sun controls all the nodes, then I guess right. Technically you don't have that. But with Bitcoin, with Ethereum, with, you know, Polygon, with Solana, with some of these others, with Cardano, you know, you presumably have that. So how's that a selling point? It's not a selling point. And neither is having a database. They're all databases. So the question is what value does your database bring? And we know it's not a selling point. I don't have to be out there selling it. Dan and Starkers have tried to sell it, and they haven't sold it for shit. If they can't sell it, nobody can, because nobody's more optimistic than those two. And they're actually building an entire system protocol based upon censorship resistance. So those guys are kind of married to it, and they know people aren't buying it. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, but this is this is the stupidity we see within the entire industry.
It blew my mind. And then it was, you know, like, I just made the point, like, look, like, this is, like you said, people want to use this stuff. So if you have a database of stuff they can use, they'll hang out. But on top of that, they basically hang out where their buddies are. And if people are not going to just come to it if it's an echo chamber of two people going back and forth.
Exactly. That's what I've said. All this fucking marketing. It's what? Oh, we need to bring people to Threads. What? You go 10 minutes without a thread. Mm. If Django and I are only the only ones threading, or if RMM Sancre and I are the only ones threading back and forth, or if two people are the only ones threading back and forth, that's what we said that last week.
Well, I mean, censorship resistant, man. So they're going to stick around.
Yeah. It's like, it's this moronic idea that, well, we all have to get on Web 2 to bring people over to Web 3. And I've used the analogy. Can you see the business manager for X walking into Elon's office and said, I got the solution. I'm going to send all 400 million Twitter users over to Facebook to talk about X on Facebook. And Elon, if he didn't throw that person out a window, would say, who's going to engage with the people when they're here? Oh, the new people will. Why would new people engage if old people won't? It's just foolishness. It just defies logic how these people think that this makes any sense at any level. And this is why we're not getting anywhere. Because look at the people who have influence. Look at the people who are looked as project leaders or project managers or project founders or whatever. And then look at their engagement. It's shit.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
It's shit. Yep. It's shit. And I don't mind calling people out. Look at Cal. Look at his, and maybe he's just busy. Maybe he's just all this stuff. But I bet if we compared his Twitter account to his threading and added the numbers, I bet there's a lot more tweets than there are threads. What the fuck is that shit? He's one of the founders. He should be on Threads all fucking day when he's not, you know, dealing with development and that type of stuff.
I think a really good example of this in a Web 2 arena is Elon. Elon lives on Twitter. Why?
Yeah, but Elon did that before he bought Twitter, so
he really does, I think, represent product of a product. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's, but again, he was there before, so I don't know if that's much of a change. I mean, you're right. He certainly lives it. I mean, you cannot deny the fact that he is the face of Twitter. He's on Twitter all the time. You can see his account. You know, I don't know. Does Zuckerberg, you know, is he a big Facebook user? I don't know. I don't know anything about Facebook, but, you know, Zuckerberg's not on Twitter trying to get people over to Facebook. That I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you Zuckerberg's not sitting there tweeting all day.
I think what you need, though, this is where I think that you do need to be using the Web 2 to promote Web 3. You can't ignore Web 3. Like, it's like a lot of people on Hive have this idea, like, we'll just go to Web 2. We're not going to use the thing we're talking about. We're just going to go Web 2 and talk about it.
What are you talking about? Web 3 is an abstract concept. Okay, let's talk about the Hive simulation. You know, and how we're all in the simulation, and now Hive is its own simulation. If we're going to talk about abstract theory, What the fuck are you talking about? What is Hive? It's a censorship resistant database. Nobody gives a fuck. So what are you talking about? No. You know, what are you talking about?
This is again, that goes back to the whole, you should be talking about the apps, like not the blockchain.
Okay, talk about the apps. What services are provided on Hive? Oh, wait, threads? Mm. Three people threading a day? Nope. I mean, the biggest threads last week were under 400. Well, the threads ain't a what raging success. Three speak? Well, we can't really do that. That's an app that you load something up. Maybe it'll come through in a day or two. You know, high blog, long form blog content. Oh, well, that's exciting to people. You're really going to get the Twitter crowd with that. I mean, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, Splinterlands did the best because at least they could target, as we've said, what they're going after. Maybe Holosync can target the Pokemon crowd when that gets going. Fine. I have no problem with that. Then they can run, you know, Acidio and all those people can run over all over Web 2 and talk about Holosync. Smart idea. But at this point, what's in your database? There was an article on Bitcoin Magazine. So the Bitcoin Maxis are starting the narrative. And it was titled, Bitcoin's a Database, which I agree with wholeheartedly. In this whole article, and you know, Bitcoin Magazine articles go on for like 6 years. I mean, they're forever long. And they were going on about this, a database, and you can write to it, blah, 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 censorship resistant. I agree with everything in the article. And of course, this is on Bitcoin Magazine. And I said, after reading this article, these Bitcoin Maxis just admitted Bitcoin's database is worthless because it's a worthless database. Who gives a shit? Do you care about your Visa bill from March of 2017? Do you care about the transactions? No. There's a reason why your bank doesn't show you bank statements from 7 years ago, because they know nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Do you care about your Bitcoin transactions from 5 years ago? No. Who cares? You only care about your balance. You know, and that's where financial transactions, nobody cares after you file your tax returns or after a couple of years. It's like, it doesn't matter. You know, but a database from, let's say, baseball or football reference. I mean, football reference. Jim Kelly's been retired for, you know, what, 25 years or something like that. If that information was entered in 2007 of his career stats, that data is still relevant and is still of interest to people who look up football, who like football stats, who all of a sudden Jongo logs on because he can't remember how many touchdowns Jim Kelly threw. You know, that data is still relevant. And there's people who look at that. Do you care if a song was loaded that you're listening to into Spotify in 2016? No, it's still a relevant song. Do you care if the movie you're watching on Netflix was uploaded in, you know, 2014? No, you don't. It's still relevant. It's, you're going to watch the movie today. You're going to listen to the song. You're going to look up the stats. But financial transactions? I mean, who cares what came in or went out of your bank account in 2013? Nobody cares. So this is where, you know, people need to understand the basics of this stuff, and they don't seem to. And it also just shows you how Bitcoin, it's not the database. It's not what it can do, because every other blockchain can do what Bitcoin does. And it's why forking Bitcoin is just at best a cheap replica, and at worst, you know, something that's worthless, because it's not Bitcoin. So what is it? No. You know, the network sucks. The database sucks. What do you have? You know, it's not Bitcoin.
Yeah. And now with the ETF, the fees are rising again. Exciting times.
Well, it's, you know, the hijacking of Bitcoin is now
official.
It's done. The vision of Satoshi for Bitcoin is
history. That actually is a few questions, and we have a lot to get into. So
okay, let's go to questions.
I want to get your insight on this, because this is the first thing I saw when everyone was losing their mind again, hypocrites of the green candle gangs. This is insane to me, the amount of celebration that's going on about Wall Street accepting these ETFs, and now we've got the approval of Big Daddy Wall Street. Like, the first thing that, when everyone was losing their mind about this, I'm just sitting there, exactly what you said. And again, I'm not a big Bitcoin guy at all. I actually own 0.00000000 Bitcoin. I don't own a single thing. But I believed in Bitcoin when it first came out. I believe in what it represented and everything. And obviously it's the granddaddy. But I see all this, and the first thing I think is like, this is going against absolutely everything that this thing was created for. Complete. It was built during the time when we needed something like this the most. And the whole point was to go against Wall Street and against big banks. And here we are just like little babies, like looking for crumbs. Like, oh, look, Wall Street accepts us now. You bunch of hypocrites. You know what you need to do? You need to go read that white paper a few more times, folks. And then ask you, is this a good thing? Oh, yeah, it's accepted now. And institutional money's coming in. Yeah, okay. We'll see. Yeah, all of this was to separate you from your tokens. This whole crap, everything is a big... When people realize that, they won't be jumping up and down with, yay, we got accepted by Wall Street. Anyways, that's my rant. Thanks. Got anything to add to that?
Well, I mean, if you understand how things work, you understand that Bitcoin was failed from the beginning in its premise. What do I always say? What's monetary history? The number one lesson of monetary history is fixed money always pulls.
Yep.
And so what you have is you have a situation where people want Wall Street in because they want their green candle people. And as you pointed out, the irony of sitting there on the edge of their seats waiting for a government agency. Let me say that again, a government agency to approve a financial product tied to Bitcoin. And people are waiting on the edge like, this is a wonderful thing for Bitcoin. It expands the Bitcoin ecosystem. No, it doesn't, you stupid fucks. And what this does is this actually, which it wasn't going to work anyway, as I've explained many a times as why Bitcoin doesn't work as a medium of exchange. And again, fixed money always pulls. So fixed money leads to slavery. It leads to poverty. It leads to tyranny. The exact opposite of what Satoshi was supposedly promoting, but doesn't know how to design something based on monetary history. So he, she, it, they created something that actually perpetuates more of it. Now we had El Salvador, a government legislating, again, government legislation of Bitcoin as legal tender in the maxi saying, yay, we are being accepted. Now Wall Street, Gary Gensler, the watchdog of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the organization that applies laws that were written in the 1930s saying, yes, you can sell this product tied to Bitcoin. And yes, you Wall Street banks have met our standard where you can go and accumulate as much Bitcoin as you want using clients' money and you custody them. And by the way, that's no counterparty risk. Let's look up Bear Stearns. Let's look up Lehman Brothers. Gee, maybe there's some examples of counterparty risks that we should pay attention to. Silicon Valley Bank. And these people think it's a great thing. It's ridiculous, but it's Hive's opportunity now. So, and I will have some articles coming up about this and here's another one, Jungo. I'm going to give you the next one for getting Ethereum. We know Ethereum's going that direction, but Ethereum's a bank of chain anyway. Mm. Here's the next one. USDC.
Oh, yeah.
Taken over by Wall Street. And I'll have an article on that too.
Yeah, Ahmad Manga just said here, it's rare I see someone so against Bitcoin. We're not against Bitcoin. Like, it's got nothing to do with it. I think it's a great store of value. It's the granddaddy of all crypto. Well, it's wonderful.
A shitty store of value. You went from 65K to 15K. How's that a store of value?
If you drink the Kool-Aid, that it's going to $1 million per coin. Using it for everyday expenses. Oh, it's the Lightning Network.
Oil might go to $170 a barrel. I don't know. That doesn't mean I'm going to buy oil futures. I mean, if you believe oil is going to $175 a barrel, buy oil futures. Good for you. Bitcoin as a speculation asset. I mean, I don't have any problem with that. And I never take exception. Kathy Wood came out and updated her forecast at Bitcoin at $1.5 million by 2030 or something. I don't know. Maybe it will. I'm not saying it won't. I'm not saying it's not going to go to 100,000, 500,000, or 10,000. I have no idea. But what I'm saying in terms of a medium of exchange, in terms of the network, and I don't tell you about the network. Go check some of Brian of London's podcasts and stuff and his appearance on CTT. He knows that better than anybody, at least it pertains to Lightning. And he says right off the bat, that's a shit network. But I understand the database and the value of a database. Nothing in the database because it's financial stuff. And who really cares more than 3 days later? You don't. So, you know, as a speculation asset, and I do hold Bitcoin and I got a lot of GBTC. Because from a speculation standpoint, you can make some money. But from the other standpoints, I don't think Bitcoin's the going to fly in that regard.
Yeah. Let's get into your guys' questions now. Full disclaimer, there's a lot, so I don't know if we'll be able to get to everyone, but we'll do our best. Will I go on a rant today? Yes. 20 minutes in, we've already ranted. Lucille says, what do you think about the Icecoin project?
Have you heard of it? Don't know anything about it, never heard of it.
No idea what that is. If you have a link, let us know. And Andersino, friend of the show, did you guys ever think you would be a project leader in crypto before Hive?
No. Never thought of being anything like this, but you know, you find a void.
But here we are.
No.
Yeah, I just
take action and see where the fuck you end up. I mean, you never know where you're going to go.
Yep, that's the thing. I believed in the project and I just kept showing up.
Yep.
That's it. But definitely no plans of hey, I'm going to do this, that. Anyways, so here's an interesting. Why hasn't Like2 taken off more? Thought it would be a killer dApp on Hive, and he still has high hopes for it. Now, I like Like2. Some people say, well, it's because it doesn't have its token. It's based on Hive. I don't know. I think user experience is key. I think every Hive dApp, not just Like2, every Hive dApp is still a little clunky. It's not the most user-friendly experience. Not necessarily, again, not Like2. I'm talking across the board. This stuff needs much more emphasis, I think, in 2024. All of these apps need user experience first and foremost. And you see that Leo is basically slowed down on a lot of other things to make this a priority. User experience is key. I think a reason why me and Task, we were talking yesterday, I was doing these little videos and Task is like, well, you know, you should throw it up on ThreeSpeak. And I'm like, I would love to, but sometimes ThreeSpeak videos don't upload for 12 hours or even a day. I mean, that user experience will kill people who are there. They won't even say anything. They'll just leave. Oh, this doesn't work and it's not very enjoyable. I'm fighting this. I'm just going to go. So I think that's not just Like2. I think that's across the board.
I've never used Like2, but you know, so you're probably right. I don't know how the user experience is on that compared to, let's say, an Instagram. I'm sure the features are much more scaled down, which you would presume it was something relatively new versus Instagram, which is more than a decade old. But I think a lot of it with Like2. Goes against the main premise. I mean, you're doing top line blog posts and it goes against the quote ethos of Hive. So, you know, I think that's just one of those things where I don't know if it not having its own token really is that important. I mean, Essency does, and that seems very popular. I mean, I know
that was the thing I was going to say. They have the mobile app, though. Essency is probably the most popular mobile app on Hive. I think it's pretty much the only one.
I mean, isn't Like2 mobile?
They have a mobile, just like Leo. It's not an app. It's just the mobile version.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Well, that's. I don't disagree with that. Well, everybody keeps screaming for mobile, and I'm with Cal. I'm with. What's his name from DBuzz who we interviewed?
Nathan.
You know, the progressive web app, so you're not under Google and Apple. I mean, if we're going to be Web3, you cannot be dependent on Apple and Google. and their Play Store, because they could wipe you out in an instant. I mean, Apple threatened not to have Elon and Twitter on their App Store. What would that have done? You know, that's the power that these entities wield. So,
It's good question though, for sure. He follows that up. How far is? It's funny. I was talking to my wife about this the other night. She asked me. She's like, "How's Town Hall doing? How are you guys in the witness list?" And Andresino says, "How far are we from being the top 10 witness? And how do we encourage more minnows to power up
higher?" How far are we from the top? I don't even know where we're
at. How far are we from the top? We are 10 million votes away from 30th. Dude, it's the Great Wall. It's not the Great Wall of China. It's the Great Wall of witness votes. And once you hit, this is about as far as you go without the blessings of the powers that be.
Well, that's not true. Leo's in the top 25, so.
Yeah, but do you think they'll ever get to top 20?
Yeah. I mean,
unless they get a vote from.
No, the answer for Leo to get in the top 20 is very easy, is the price of Leo moons, and you get $1 Leo at 33 cent Hive. You can all of a sudden have a lot of your supporters roll over into Hive and power it up. And next thing you know is, I mean, you take, 2 million Leo and get 6 million Hive. I mean, that's going to change something. I don't know what the numbers are. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And, I don't really have a problem with top 20 not changing to them, because I'm kind of like with Dan. It's about reputation. And unless they're really doing something wrong, I mean, it's, you need them to run the chain, and you don't want it easy to get into. I mean, everybody bitches, well, it's the same 20 people. What happens if it was easy to get into? Then that's a vulnerability against an outside attack. So if it's very difficult to get in, it makes it that much harder to get an outside attack. And you might be able to get some ranking, 18, 17. You might be able to sneak a few nodes in there, but you're not going to be able to sneak 10 or 15 nodes in there to take control. Basically the top 10 is, I don't want to say untouchable, but pretty much untouchable. I mean, they really would have to fuck up and really do something horrific to get kicked out.
Yeah. It's like you said. I mean, I'm to me, it's like just it's kind of what you just said about, were you planning on being an influencer on no, with witnesses, it's like the same opinion I have with this is just show up every day, show up, keep adding, just keep progressing. Three Speak is a really good example of that. Three Speak got into the top 20.
It took recently. Them a while.
Took them a long while. Right? So, yeah.
And Dan and Starkers have been around for forever. And big stake, known builders, and they just snuck in. So, and they do fall out. I mean, Krim and her partner shut down their node. So it does happen. But. Yep.
Here's a fun one. What did Taskmaster work with before, which made him lose all his hair? Or is it because of Steam that you lost it all?
No, I don't really have any issue with Steam. I don't know why people speak badly of Steam. Steam was a great chain. It's where we got our start. And, I mean, Ned was a fuck up. we know that. Core developers, I mean, they had some talent, but without leadership, they were just spinning their wheels. And the Justin Sun thing, it happened. And it was a great lesson. And some changes were made that I think were obviously a more resilient ecosystem now than Steam was. But, I don't know why people are so upset about Steam and talk bad about Steam. I mean, I wouldn't, go there now. There's no point, but
it started, it was,
I mean, it was taken over. Fine, okay. It sucks now, but, it was like you worked for a company and, it's a great company. Then ABC Corporation bought it out and I got fired and now went to shit. Not because I got fired, but it went to shit. Well, it used to be a great company. It was a great company to work for in 20 years ago. Garbage company now, and they're a bunch of crooks. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, Justin's son is Justin's son, but
He also wants to show us his risotto. So there's his risotto. Perfect. Thank you. Simple Game says, hope I can make it. I think it's the best threadcast on Leo. Better than La Olive. La Olive was fun yesterday. Tass doesn't come to my shows. He only shows up to my shows, to the shows we do together. He doesn't come to my shows.
That's I was there last week. I wasn't able to make it yesterday. You changed the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't do chain talk. I had enough chain talk during the AMA.
Yeah. 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 Here's a fun one from Holy Bread. How do we get more daily users? Because Cal said if he doesn't get 10,000 daily, he owes the DHF a cool quarter.
Well, and I had to correct it. That's monthly users, not it's an MAU, not monthly. A DHF.
Yeah. MAU. Yep. Yeah.
You know, we kind of hit on that. You can go and market it all you want. I don't give a crap. You better have something to offer people. And, you know, Simple Games understands this because he spent a lot of time building out a game from what I understand that, you know, the way he's framing it, it's going to be kick ass. And I have no reason not to believe him. You know, a lot of people are very optimistic about what Hollowsing and Asidio and his team is doing. And again, I have no reason not to believe Asidio and the people who make that claim. I don't know, but I have no reason not to believe them. But what are you seeing being built on, you know, that's going to attract people? You better do a lot better.
I agree with that completely. And I also have a little caveat that you and I have ranted about forever and ever and ever. We need more people using this stuff every single day and not just coming around for a day or when a Zili campaign is on.
Oh, yeah.
That's key.
Let's be honest. It's simple mathematics. If there were 50,000 threads a day being done by the people who
problem solved. Yep.
You know, it's problem solved. Then there's so much damn activity. Then you can go and talk to Web 2 people and say, look at this freaking site. Yeah. Look at what's going on. I mean, but, you know, until you get that, you got nothing. Yeah. And, you know, when you sit there and you look at the feed, which I did some news on Leo stuff, and I had like 5 or 6 slots in a row. Okay, granted, I was up, you know, posting very quickly, so it wasn't like it was 30 minutes that went by, but what if somebody comes and sees the same person with 6 in a row?
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. All problems are solved with user activity. I mean, you know, more users, using this stuff each and every day, problem solved in a heartbeat.
Yeah. But you're not going to get the users without offering services. You have to have something people will use.
Should we run? Here we go. This is a fun question. Esme says, should we run weekly activities on In Leo? Who knows? It could bring in new users, just like Mariana West does daily prompt based writing. Should we have topic based weekly writing, say every Saturday? Who knows? This could bring in new people. I think little community based promotions are fantastic. I think part of us as content creators, and I'm planning on talking about that in the next La Olive show next week, is that if you want to have a really effectful time here, it's not even a word, you need to set up a schedule for yourself, a personal schedule that I'm going to do this and that on Monday. I'm going to do this and that on Tuesday. I'm going to do this and that on Wednesday. And it's not gospel, but you should get in the habit that that's what you're going to do. Because if you're doing that, everything else is a bonus. But if you have the activities that you're doing every day, I think that could help out a ton. So I'm all for a little weekly, little fun, little activity. Set up a day, you know, set up your Tuesdays to be this day, Wednesdays to be this day, and have some fun with it. I think it's a fantastic idea. Again, it comes back to personal responsibility. And if you're setting up a schedule for yourself and you know what you're going to write about the week before, you're going to rock, you're going to crush it. I mean, the reason why Task and I never sit there, oh, I don't know what I'm going to write about. I don't know. It's because we're basically planning out what we're going to write. Tass says this all the time on the show. I have a post plan. You hear this all the time from Tass. Is Tass just pulling things out of the air? Or no, is he finding something? He's making a note of it. He's like, I'm going to write about it. So, yes, absolutely. Thanks for listening to my teaser for all of next week. Yeah. There you go. Love it.
Show up Wednesday. Be there.
There you go.
And there will be a Threadcast.
There will be. We made it yesterday. We were up there. We had like 130 or something comments. It was great. How many songs are tracked on Music on Leo? How is Leo Glossary coming along as a whole, dear sir, from Andersino?
Well, Lisa's doing the capture on individual songs, and I got a little behind. I have some people sending me, singles pages that they've, you know, created the songs for one artist, you know, with a lot of songs. So I'm a little behind on those. But Music on Leo, I got a post planned, Django. Go into the upper corner into the search. We'll give you a preview of everybody. You'll be able to just hit the search in the upper right.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. What do you?
Work. It does work here. I thought it was only on lab.
Now, what do you see there?
Ooh, it popped up. It said search threads.
Yeah. Now type in, I don't know, pick a band, Metallica.
I don't even know how to. Is it like that? Metallica. I don't even know.
I can't read that. Metall.
I-C-A.
Yeah.
ICA.
Yeah.
Metallica.
Yeah.
There you go. Ooh, look at that.
Scroll down. Keep scrolling down.
I know. Well, hold on.
Yeah, that kind of is wonky.
Yeah, I just got to double click. Finding Freedom loves him some Metallica.
See, this is Music on Leo, and now the search, and granted, this is in ultra alpha beta. I mean, it was just put up. I don't even know if they meant it to go on the production site.
I thought it was just on labs. That's
only on labs, and it got loaded on here. So it is quirky and buggy. But see, what we have now is go and search the songs. So anything that's been loaded into Music on Leo, you can now find through the search function. You know, and again, it's wonky. If you type in Pink, I mean, you're going to get every thread that has Pink in it, not only Pink the artist, but the Pink Panther and, you know, Pink is my favorite color and whatever else. So, I mean, it's not ideal. But then the other thing that's there to answer about Leo Glossary is you notice is not only can you go through threads, hit the Leo Glossary one, John, at the top.
Okay, Leo Glossary, glossary terms. Django is not there, thankfully.
Type in money or money. Something like money.
Anti-laundering money. Central bank. Right? Look at this. Yeah. So this, I got to ask you something because this is your baby. Let's be brutally honest. Leo Glossary is your baby. Is this like validation for you to see this actually like taking shape now? You must feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Because Cal said it yesterday on a thread. He's like, this will make Task happy.
So. Yeah. And it quite honestly, and again, we use the Wayne Gretzky, go where the puck's going. I've been working on this for a year and a half, probably about 19 months now, 18, 19 months. And go back to there, Django.
Oh, sorry. Money?
Yeah, whatever. Money, assets.
Oh, for loss returns. Here we go. Okay.
So you got a few different choices there. No, I don't mean choices. Go to the right. What are your choices?
Visit, copy, and explanation.
Yeah. So what you have is you have three choices that they've set up. Is you can copy this, and the copy gives your embed code so you can link Leo Glossary pages in your thread. Obviously, this is only on threads. It doesn't work on home as of yet. So that's the first thing. But you can go right to click on one of those pages. Well, you didn't click on the page. You clicked on where it gives you the info right in there. So now go to the top and X out of that and go to the first one.
Visit.
Yeah, visit.
Very nice.
So go ahead and click on the one to visit the page. Pardon? No, the other one. Oh, you're on the page. Okay.
I'm on the page, yeah.
So now it took you right to the Leo glossary page. So what do we have? We effectively, in the Leo front end, through this feature, and granted, I don't know, it's time locked because it doesn't have any of the newer pages. But basically, what you're looking at is Leo has its own Wikipedia. Okay, it's much smaller than Wikipedia. There's only about 50 to 100 pages. But this is what I've been saying for months. Build a database. Build the database. What do we have on Hive? We have a free database. So, you know, Music on Leo, that was a project which, of course, the masses stopped doing, which you knew was going to happen. There's like 35, 3700 songs. And now there's a search engine where you can find them. So you have to get the data in there first. And, you know, pictures of your dinner, while it may be exciting to you, most people don't care. But even if they care, they care for about 3 seconds. This Threadcast has utility because people ask questions. But 3 minutes after this show ends, this Threadcast means nothing. It's worthless. It means nothing. You know, it's a utility. So all the information in this Threadcast is irrelevant. It has no relevance once we answer a question. That is my point. Now, Threadcasts are wonderful. They're very powerful. They help our broadcast. They help La Olive. They help the AMA. They, you know, these are wonderful, wonderful things, but it's a tool. It's not part of a stickability database. And that's what I've been saying all along. So yeah, there's some validation, and it's like, well, how much further ahead could we be as an ecosystem, as a platform, if other people did the same damn thing? You know, make your threads valuable like tokenized is, you know, it's Cocktails on Leo. Well, guess what? You can probably type in Tom Collins and find his recipe there.
You want me to?
No, you don't have to. I mean, I'm sure.
Glossary terms is not there.
No, not the thread. It wouldn't be a. It's a thread. He posts those as threads.
Tom Jones, what's new, Pussycat?
Yeah, that's part of the problem. There we go. You had to go down and looking for every Tom.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be
like you said, this is super early beta. Like,
yeah, I think the feedback will have to be so we can put it in quotes maybe in the search, and then, you know, like two words. If you type Tom Collins in quotes, then it searches for Tom Collins. It doesn't key on Tom or Collins.
Yeah.
Just a thought, but.
Andersino wants to know, now that I'm not trucking, will I put more stuff? Will I be threading and doing more than Task? No, Task is a machine, but I will be active, as seen in me and Brando being 1 and 2 last week for threading. Time to step up, John Go. What is your opinion on universal basic income from SB Smith?
Universal basic income, we could have a whole show on that. The problem with universal basic income as it's presented is, well, let me start with saying I think there's going to be a need for it because of technology. You're going to see a disconnect between labor and income. You know, people are not going to be earning the income from their labor, which has been the basis of our economic system for, you know, 150, 170 years or whatever. So that's a major problem. And that's why we hear these proposals of universal basic income. And some also talk about universal basic services where the government provides, you know, electricity and internet and all some basic services for free. The problem with that is it's the government in the center of it. And any study of any history of government should tell you, you can't trust the government. And I don't care what the government is. I don't care what political party. I don't give a shit about your partisan politics. And, oh, Democrats are great. It's the evil Republicans. Or it's Democrats are communists and we're Republicans. No, they're all crooks. They're all. You know, it's like people want this till the other party gets in and says, okay, well, you get universal basic income as long as you adhere to this. And then if you're talking about this or that or the other thing, you lose it. So that's the problem with universal basic income, even before you get into the how do you fund it and all this other crap. And, you know, that's why I don't think it's, you know, if you're dealing with the government and the government for a solution, go back to Bitcoin. Oh, please approve our Bitcoin spot ETF. What the fuck? So now you're like, oh, please, Elizabeth Warren, allow me to have my universal basic income, or please Donald Trump, or please Mitch McConnell, or please Joe Biden or Trudeau or whoever. It's not a good situation, because anybody who studies any history knows, whether you're talking, you know, national socialism, or you're talking communism, you know, whether you talk, you know, North Korea, you talk Hitler, you talk Stalin, you talk Pol Pot. It's all the same outcome. Maybe those are extremes, but you don't think that, you know, left unchecked, these politicians aren't going to go to extremes. You haven't been paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Tokenized wants to know, when's the next town hall meeting?
Don't know. Next month, I guess. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be last week, but I guess
first week in February. I guess we missed
First week in February is what we were talking about.
I guess we missed January because of the holiday and whatnot.
Yeah, so tentative first week in February. Would you consider moving to a different country if it was a lot more crypto friendly than where you currently live?
Yes, I'd consider moving to a different country for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
but yes,
I would love to go someplace warm.
And there you go.
Jungle 40 right now here.
I think we're going to enter the globalization real estate at some point, and you know, with remote work. And granted, it's probably 10, 15 years down the road, but some countries, especially with demographics and the demographic situation in many countries, you're going to see countries getting aggressive trying to solicit people.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, if you have an income or if you have some wealth, and again, when I say some wealth, I'm not talking a multi-millionaire, but you just have, you know, it's going to be expats, but expats are retirees. These are going to be people who are still working, but, you know, with Starlink, if you're remote work, if you're looking at a screen all day, you can do that anywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Andresino says, what do you think could make Hive fail? And what would constitute as a failure? Not getting adopted by the masses, or that infrastructure would fail?
Well, as long as the infrastructure runs, it's not a failure. Now, this may not excite people, but what is Hive? It's a database. So what at the base layer, what does it do? It has nodes that run the code that has the data. And that's what it does. And so as long as somebody's running that, which, you know, we know somebody will keep running it, because Cal's going to keep running it for Leo. He can't run without it. We know ThreeSpeak's going to keep running it. So we can presume the infrastructure will keep going. Then you have a decentralized database and you can run your applications. Now, is that going to be the raging success of $100 Hive token? Is that going to reach the success of $1 million or million user Hive? No, but this is the problem. I don't think people look at this in the right context. What is the failure of a small town? How does a small town fail? You know, it's like, is a small town a failure compared to New York City? No, it's just a smaller town. In fact, in many ways, it might be more of a success than New York City. Now, it doesn't have the value, doesn't have the wealth, doesn't generate the jobs, it doesn't have all that. But if you look at this as digital real estate, you look at this as a network state, we have our own town. Okay, it's very small. It's only you know, 3,000 people. And of those 3,000, there's only about six of us who are in the town on any given day. Everybody else is traveling around trying to tell people about our town in other towns. But that's why I say keep building. And who gives a crap? You know, Music on Leo is not for the masses. Music on Leo is for us. Leo Glossary is not for the masses. Leo Glossary is for us. Now, because of reach, because of rankings, because of search engine, because of growth, because of that, if we have 50,000 songs in Music on Leo, okay, then we have appeal to the outside world, depending on interface and stuff like that. But, you know, we build this stuff for us. So as long as that blockchain's still running, and as long as apps have access to the database, we can keep building. Mm-hmm. You know, will we be the biggest there is? No, not at all. Not in that situation. Are we going to have mass adoption? Not in that situation. Although I think those are in our future, but, you know, that's highly debatable.
Skip TV ads mentioned, you know, the polls and the thread counts and the revenues are at back. It looks like, yeah, some of this stuff was pushed. I noticed that last night with the revenue on the ads, the little graphs on the bottom of each thread. So they're working on it. Definitely.
Yeah, this polls is the thing we're doing, working, man. Though. That's a misstatement. Polls are not working. I tested it in Cali. Right. They're not working. Listen, development is development. And if you're pissed off about something, shut the hell up. Really, because they'll fix it, they'll address it, send in the feedback ticket like Cal says, and then drop it. You know, they'll get to it. Cal does go through all that, write it all down, and he has somebody addressing it. So if, you know, I want polls more than anything else right now on threads. I can use them yesterday, but it'll happen when it happens. And if I sit there and say, oh, well, polls aren't working, well, no kidding, everybody knows that. So, you know, I just have to wait. Do something else. And that's the thing. If you're building, you can always go and do something else. They'll get to it. Yep. You know, any of the stuff that was added, I don't think it's that big a deal. I didn't even notice it was gone, to be honest with you, but obviously people did. So, okay, fine. It's back. Cool.
Do we know anything about the Koinos project? Because it was built by former employees of Steemit.
I just
know that former employees of Steemit.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, what's in their database? Everybody's talking, oh, Koinos says, what's in their database?
Yeah, what are they? There's no...
What's in the damn database? Again, sure. You can talk about all this wonderful stuff. It's a great chain. It's so fit. What's in the database? What is actually useful? And it's the same question for Hive. So what is it?
Andersino has the most important question of the show, definitely. Which teams will face off in the Super Bowl? It is going to be the Chris Berman Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers against God's team, the Buffalo Bills. So we are going to see a Buffalo Bills, San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl with the Bills finally taking home the Lombardi. You heard it here. Date stamp this Thursday, January 11th.
And if that does not happen, Jungo will send everybody who left a comment in this threadcast 10 Leo.
Donated by Task.
Now the threadcast has value. We just added value to it. Beyond the end of this show.
I like it. Absolutely love it. Are we investing in SPI in Bro? I know you have SPI.
Yeah, I have. You have it.
Yeah. I was definitely into both. When I trimmed the fat last year, I got rid of a lot of basically everything. So I'm currently not, but I was for sure. And we love Raymond Speaks. Make Olive trending. Yes, let's make Olive trending. What do you guys do outside the blockchain? What do you spend hobbies on?
Outside the blockchain?
There's stuff that's outside the blockchain? Like, what? I hang out with my family, you know.
See, that's the problem with that thinking. There is nothing outside the blockchain. Every waking moment should be dedicated to building.
Right, no life.
future no life on life. Well, no. You know, start building a business, spend 5 years, and then you may have a totally different financial future.
Deep thoughts. John Timms wants to know, will we actually manage to answer all the questions?
Yeah, we'll get them a lot.
We'll do our best. We'll keep going. Lisa's up. It would be nice if more businesses took Hive or HBD as payment. Had to use Venmo with my dad's bank account to pay for a bunch of stuff the other day. There was like a 3% service charge to use the credit card. My dad gets 1% back if he's using his MasterCard. I have a sense that Hive or HBD would be a lot less and a lot faster. I'd like to see. I feel there'd be more wins, you know, if there was more. Yeah, I mean, it's adoption. You know, don't get tasks started on, don't use Hive for that. Use HBD for that though. This is the thing. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. People say they want that. And Lisa, I'm not talking about Lisa because Lisa actually does use HBD because we've been but the payment option for a lot of the projects we used to own was HBD. So people say they want this, that, and a third. They never use it, though. Like, we built HivePay. HivePay was basically the greatest thing ever for e-commerce on Hive. Ask me how many people used it. We had, pretty much. Agrode came to us after we launched it, had a little meeting with me and Blaine, and said he was interested in looking at it further. They went another direction for their stuff with Splinterlands, which is fine. That's their business. But the majority of the time, people were begging for this. No one used it. No one used HivePay. So this is the hypocrites that plague not just Hive, but the entire crypto world. They say they want this stuff. Then when it's manufactured, creating, developed for them, they don't use it. So this is the problem with building on chain when we don't even have people using the stuff that's here right now.
No.
That's my rant.
I'm sure Cal could give you a list of things that people said they needed. He builds it and
even use it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's utterly frustrating. But yes,
that's why Cal should just build for me. I mean,
absolutely.
I'll use the poles. Fix them. I'll use them. Mm-hmm. I'll have 1,000 poles up by the next AMA.
He will.
You know,
he's not joking.
It's not that hard to do, but he goes and builds something, and you know, I understand debugging, but he goes and builds features, and then it's like, well, we need that, and it's like, look at the GIFs, however you say it, GIFs. I say GIFs. Everybody said it the first day they came out. I mean, the whole front page was just GIFs. Oh, we have them, wonderful. And how many people actually use them?
Yeah.
No.
Yep. Good point. When is the release date for this HoloZing? No idea. I do need to do a better job of keeping up to that because I'm bullish on the token because I think Acid is a great guy to be heading that up. I do not know the release date, but there's a lot of stuff going. If you see what they're doing with the artwork, and it's bubbling. It's definitely bubbling.
Good deal.
Yep. Where do we find the stream? You're watching it, Soul Me, right now. Where is the link, Ahmad Manga? You're watching it right now. This is when we got into the Bitcoin stuff. Skip TV ad said he just got on time, waking up after his lunch. Good.
Glad to know.
Yes. Boomer Toon says, when has the government ever made anything better? Yes, exactly. Never. They don't. Steam was great while it lasted. Agreed. It's our legacy chain, as the cool kids call it. I enjoyed my time on Steam.
And it had a ton of potential. It was just run by, you know, Steam It with Inc.
Ned and his hair. Is there a Hive account that gathers the information of all witnesses, like what they do on a monthly basis? I don't know if that would help the rest of Hive stay informed and clear out all of those generated by ignorance of what they do for the. Well, I know Dalz does his reporting, but I don't.
Yeah,
think
but that. Yeah, that doesn't
that's
tell
just
you
what they've earned.
I mean, right? What does Block Trades do? You know, it's he has his reports, but he doesn't do them every month. But he's building on the base layer, so You know, what does ThreeSpeak do? You know, follow their account. You know, what does Gandalf do? Gandalf's part of the core development team. I mean, what, do you want a listing of how much code he writes? So, you know, a lot of these guys are technical background. I mean, what Archange is doing. I have no idea what Archange does, but every Hi-Fest, he seems to introduce something new. So the guy's doing something. You know, Assidio, which I believe he's a top 20 witness, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, yep. You know, you could have asked for years what he was doing. I had no idea until Hollowsing. Well, now you see he's heavily involved in Hollowsing, but on a monthly basis, what does he do? Who knows? I mean, he's heading up a team, I presume. I don't know how many people are involved, but maybe he's just overseeing. Maybe he's actually designing. I don't know what he does. So a lot of this stuff, it's like, you know, what are the witnesses doing? They're running the chain. That's what they're doing. And if the chain's not running, then that's a problem and it needs to be fixed. Unfortunately, Jungo and I aren't going to fix it. Neither is Nifty. So we're lucky if we keep our witness node running. That's got to be the Gandalf. That's got to be the block trades. That's got to be the Marquis. That's got to be the Archange. That's got to be those type of guys because, you know, ThreeSpeak's not going to fix that. You know, Leo's not going to fix that. It's got to be those guys.
Is it Jizza or JZA? If it's Jizza, I salute you for the Wu-Tang reference. If it's JZA, no problem. Hey guys, just got a third cast. I think that the top witnesses could be more competitive. I see, you know, that's the 21st witness coming in and out and that and third and stuff. I've always said this, and this is, and I totally agree with what you said, Task. And I agree that every single witness needs like security and the ability to have it up running, securing it. Absolutely. But I think this blockchain does the best when you cater to three groups of people get together and build things, developers, marketers, and then the common folk, the actual users. You have these three people represented, and it's why we started Town Hall, was to talk about the actual users and to showcase the users and having a voice for them. I think you have those three groups of people represented. I think that's very healthy. Now I get it. You want everything to be secure. So me and Task running the witness server in a top 20 is probably a bad idea.
Or us running your website. Probably a bad idea.
You know, but I think that a blockchain, a one that represents itself as a social media kind of, it's got the elements of it. I think you need the business mind as well as the development mind. And you need the voice of people actually that are using this stuff. Because well, what did that start off with? You said that most of these guys don't even use this stuff.
That's at the app level. That to me, that's the app level. That's not the base layer. That's the apps.
But the apps build on the base layer. So don't you think apps should have a say in the top 20?
Well, ThreeSpeak does. Leo's close. Hiveblog does. Splinterlands does because of
Yabba was up there. Yeah.
Hollowsing obviously will. So I mean there are good people. Mean you do have a handful that obviously built apps. I mean Hovu was a top 20 witness with whoever he was involved with, and they had SteamPress. Okay, that was an app that is long gone. But, you know, it's not like a lot of these top 20 don't have other things. And if you go through, I mean, Marky, good, bad, or otherwise, he had STEM. So there's been people who've done it, and they have apps, and they have games, and they have certain things. You know, it's, again, at the base layer, you really want that. I mean, the number one thing of a witness is to make sure they're producing blocks. Right. And then, you know, having that group of witnesses who have the technical capability, who can troubleshoot. Am I happy that ThreeSpeak is a top 20 consensus witness? Absolutely. Because I know Dan and Starkers are non-technical people, and they're the ones behind that node. And they have somebody else handling the tech, but they are the driving force behind that node. I'm absolutely thrilled they're in the top 20. You know, that represents, like you said, a different interest. But if they were up there and they didn't have the capability or anybody to keep that node running, I'd say there's definitely a problem. And, you know, the idea of what you were saying, to me, I think that's sorely lacking, but I think it's lacking at the application level. I mean, hell, you have block trades and others developing half, which is totally designed for giving people, developers, the ability to tap into the database without having to worry about the blockchain. You know, a nice layer two intermediary level there, layer there. You know, that's a smart idea. But that's not going to go anywhere if you just have a bunch of developers coming in, building apps, tapping into that, and they have no business mindset whatsoever. And and that's what's sorely lacking from the application level and the user base. I mean, how many times have we said, you're a business, build a business. What are people doing? They're putting pictures at our lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, what relevance is that going to have in 5 years? You know, all it's going to lead you to do is piss and moan 5 years from now how you're not making any money and other people are. Well, guess what? Other people busted their ass for five freaking years and you sat there posting your lunch. I mean, you know, it's, and you can do that. You can mix it in. Jungo throws in Buffalo Bills on Threads and stuff like that. Not everything has to be serious, but you better build something that's lasting. What that is up to each individual. But, you know, you got an open database. Use it. And as I've shown, and Leo Glossary was a proof of concept, but as I've shown, applications will integrate it. I mean, Cal will integrate it. Now, do you think Cal would have done that if I only had like six pages? No. Do you think Cal was going to integrate my stuff from my personal account? No. You don't see Search Taskmaster on that search bar. Maybe in the updates it'll be there, but it's not there so far. We are only in alpha. So maybe by Zeta? Maybe by Zeta we'll have task as search. But, you know, the point being, you build something, then you can go and say incorporate this. You know, Cal sees this stuff. You know, it was the idea of music on Leo. You know, if we get 10, 15,000 songs, then we can go to Cal and say, you need to start to figure out how to integrate this into the app more. And he certainly will. He wants it used. But these are services. See, this is the point. These are services. You can do stuff with this. You can take the data and incorporate it into something. You know, cocktails on Leo. Maybe that could be built into something. But pictures of my a sunset. I mean, unless you're a photographer, no.
There you go, man. We did it. We got through the questions. I'm pleasantly surprised. It was good.
No, we usually do. It's what's that? There's some law that like it's you'll fill up whatever time you have. I forget what the name of it is. And so, you know, that's why people are more productive in shorter periods of time because, you know, they I don't know. Anyway, we did it.
There you go, folks. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us. Appreciate you guys on Threads and everyone watching the replay and listening to it. Have a great week. Tomorrow we've got Lion's Den with Task.
Yeah. Week two.
Week two of Lion's Den.
Yeah, and the big question with Lion's Den was answered. Neo renamed it on what he's producing. So
there you go.
That was the big question. Would he start it all over again? And he did.
Perfect. Guys, have a fantastic night. We will see you. Toodles.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Cryptomaniacs podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to hanging out with you again next week.